pools and plumbing and HVAC products at a variety of locations for your convenience, we're ready to go. Visit WolseleyExpress.com to find a branch near you. Your project, our priority.
Jack 96.9, 80s, 90s, more. Yeah, that means you might hear this. 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 And even this.
I like the way you work, kid. No diggity. I got the bag here.
Jack 96.9. Check us out today on your radio, on your smart speaker, or on the all-new Seeker app. S-E-E-K-R.
Sportsnet 650, Vancouver.
Welcome back to Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd here live from the Kintec Studio. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. Drancer, of course, traveling right now, so he'll join me a little bit later on in the show. But joining me now on the phone line, a former NHL defenseman, now an analyst for MSG, the NHL Network, for Amazon. He's putting in work. He is Thomas Hickey. Thomas, thank you very much for doing this today. How are you?
Hey, Jamie. I'm good. Yeah. I find myself in Vegas. Got the Islanders and the Golden Knights tonight, so I'm looking forward to that. I haven't seen Vegas play live yet this year, and it's been an impressive season for them. So I'm looking forward to the game, but no, things are well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, and thanks for making time. And Vegas, they can be pretty impressive. They can be pretty daunting, so I hope you enjoy that one tonight. You were working the Amazon broadcast when the Canucks were in Montreal earlier this week. What did you think of getting the chance to watch the Canucks live and in person?
Well, you know what, I enjoyed that game maybe as much as I've enjoyed any game this entire season. I don't know, Canucks didn't come out on top, but what a game that was. I mean, it was huge. You know, when I'm doing a game, you want to see the star guys involved, and, you know, the news of Quinn Hughes coming back, that was big. And, you know, Vancouver's team I've seen live multiple times this year, saw him against San Jose, and it was a different game. That was the first game Hughes missed in that stretch. I thought it was a phenomenal hockey game. The intensity was there. It felt like a playoff game being down on ice level. It was a lot of fun. I think for Vancouver, it's just a battle right now. When you don't have the healthy bodies, it's just a bit of a war right now for them to grind it out. And just catching up on last night's action, I mean, it looks like they played a really good game. I just watched the scoring chances and took a little bit of an analytical look, but certainly looked like they could have earned those or deserved those 2 points last night. So it's just a grind for them right now.
Yeah, and as you said, you know, an entertaining one in Montreal, spirited. They don't come out on top, but it's been kind of that way for them since Christmas. A lot of these games have been kind of surprisingly physical for, you know, mid-season games, lots of energy, and the Canucks have been up to the task, but I think they're just kind of running into, okay, it's great, we're working hard, and that's really important. It's something we can hang our hat on, but we're missing key players, and it's tough to get results in that situation. Can that lead to a certain level of frustration with a team, right? When you do feel like, hey, our effort is there, we're putting in the right work, you know, we should be getting, maybe we could deserve a few better results here, but we're not getting them. How long does it take for that to kind of tip over to frustration for a team?
Frustration, absolutely. It could be there. In those situations, I look to what do you have around you? And you've got Rick Tocchet, and, Sam obviously, you know, won the Jack Adams last year because the team was really good. But when I get the chance to speak to him, extremely well thought out. He's got, not cheesy philosophies. I feel like he's really got a fresh approach and understands the players. And I think probably has a really good grasp of what we all learn when you play hockey. Frustration is an emotion that you feel. it does not serve you well in any way at all. And I think for him, probably making sure that that's not something that really penetrates into the room and eats away at the morale. It's just finding a way to be proud of playing good hockey, and the results sometimes are there and sometimes they're not. But if you put forth that, you know, that same thing over and over again, you're going to get the better result, because Vancouver, they're a good hockey team despite where they sit right now and despite the rash of injuries they have. So I think having Rick talk it is certainly something that helps out a lot when you're talking about, can frustration seep into the room? Well, what's the leadership like from the top? And I think Tocchet's got a great handle on that.
Yeah, I mean, you speak about leadership. I mean, obviously the captain, another big part of that. And Quinn Hughes, I think to your point, it was an interesting game for him last night. You know, got into it with Pierre-Luc Dubois, kind of got an unexplained early penalty in the game that actually ended up keeping him in the box for like 6 minutes. So I think there was a little bit of frustration, but after the game, he was pretty defiant, saying, look, we're a good team. That's a good team too, but we are a good team. We're just not getting the results right now. Is that kind of defiant confidence from your captain the kind of thing you're talking about that can prevent frustration from seeping in and keep everyone on the same page in tough circumstances like this?
100%. And, you know, that's sort of, you know, similar to before with Tocchet. Obviously, I think when you've got a leadership group and you talk every day, I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know, but I'm sure that's coming down from Tocchet. And then it's coming down from your captain. It's the truest thing out there. It's 82 games in a season. And sometimes you get points you don't deserve. Sometimes you get cheated out of them. But how are you playing is the most important thing. So, you know, with Hughes' comments, yeah, you play against a good hockey team. Could go either way in overtime. Doesn't go your way, but doesn't need to make you feel like you have been cheated on the trip when you lose a couple in overtime. It's just, it's a long season and that's how it goes. But if you're playing well, it's really all that matters.
Yeah, and overtime losses are a big topic of conversation here in Vancouver right now because the Canucks have had a lot of them. They're leading the league or last in the league, however you want to call it, in that category so far. You know, on pace for, I think, almost a record-setting number if they kept it up. It's one of those things where, look, every point matters, and the Canucks, they're not comfortable in a playoff spot right now. They're scrapping and clawing, so yes, they need every point. At the same time, it's 3-on-3. It's not real hockey necessarily, so I think sometimes we get a little bit distracted by the results. Have you ever been on a team that had a stretch racking up, you know, overtime losses, and what was your reaction? How did you kind of try to keep it in perspective?
Yeah, actually I've got a firsthand look at it. The New York Islanders, in the last 2 years, they've played as much overtime hockey as any team in the NHL, and they left more points on the table, I believe, don't quote me on this, than any team, you know, heading into their overtime against Boston the other night. They're 1-6 on the season in overtime. I don't know what the shootout record is exactly, but 1-6. Okay. Well, when you just look at even going 50% in overtime, and then you go look at the standings and just see what that will do for you, I mean, it changes the picture completely. Mm-hmm. You know, the Islanders, they ended up winning in overtime. It's a big point. I've gone through it. I've seen it more, from an analyst perspective than I have when I was playing. I think we had pretty decent success in overtime. But, you know, when I look at Vancouver, and maybe you wonder why, obviously if there's a player I'm picking to go out in 3-on-3 overtime, it's Quinn Hughes.
Yep.
That's great. But when I look at the rest of the decor right now in Vancouver, I think maybe there's a bit of a reason why, right? Like if Quinn Hughes is 5 minutes long and he's going to play, you know, 245, we'll call it, what's going on the rest of the time. And you've got this makeup in Vancouver of Quinn Hughes, who's exceptional. And then you've got good players, but they're all very similar. When I think of Darnay, when I think of Forbert, when I think of Soucy, mm-hmm, and Juulsen, they're big bodies. They're good defenders. They're good NHL players, but it's a lot of the same thing. And doesn't really complement them too well when you get to overtime and, you know, you're trying to get that goal without Quinn Hughes on the ice. So I think that's an area for them. And, you know, Hronek would be a guy that's playing those minutes. I've been really impressed with Tyler Myers this year. I mean, I know you guys have had him for a long time in Vancouver and he's been around the league forever. He looks a little bit different to me this year. I don't include him in the same category as those other guys just because of his skating ability and a little bit more offensively inclined, but I think maybe that has something to do with Vancouver's overtime record, is just the fact that you sort of got that one guy in Hughes that can control play and maybe contribute to it. And maybe when the other guys are on the ice, you're looking to get to that next shift so that Hughes can get back out there.
Yeah, Tocchet was actually asked about the overtime record after the game last night, and, you know, asked if he was surprised by it. And he said, you know, well, look, I can't play Quinn Hughes the whole time. And I think you're bang on about the similarity beyond Hughes of the defenders. And also, that's where they really miss Hronek, or one of the places where they really miss Hronek, right? Because yeah. You can get him out there for a minute, give Hughes a breather, and then basically you never need to have another defenseman out there other than Hughes or Hronek in 3-on-3. We're talking to Thomas Hickey here, former NHL defenseman, now an analyst for MSG and the NHL Network, as well as working on the Amazon broadcasts. And, you know, just on Quinn Hughes, and obviously he wins the Norris Trophy last year, so it's not as if he's underappreciated by any stretch around the league. But as a former NHL defenseman yourself, what's your kind of reaction just seeing a guy on the blue line control the game and dictate the game the way Quinn Hughes does at the level he does?
It's remarkable, and it's so much fun to watch. You know, I mentioned I was so bummed out. It was December 23rd, I believe, Sharks in Vancouver. And when I got the news that game time rolled around and Hughes was questionable, and then we found out he wasn't going to play, I mean, it took a lot of wind out of my sails. And, you know, conversely, when found out that he was going to play in Montreal on Monday, I just get so excited. And I'll put myself in a fan's perspective, a viewer's perspective. I mean, what a treat it is in the NHL that we've got so many of these guys, but there's those elite few, and especially defensemen like Makar and Hughes, that it's entertainment value. It's worth the price of your ticket to get to go out and watch these guys control play. And as far as Quinn Hughes goes, I mean, yes, offensively and the way he controls the play, but all over the ice. I love watching him play. Undersized guy, you see how he defends and how well he gets up the ice and then gets back to break things up. It's extraordinary. And he's got a skill set and a demeanor that I appreciate just as much as the way that he plays the game. I consider myself lucky that I get to watch him.
Yeah, I think that's how we all feel out here, too. And I mean, especially Canucks fans, when he was out of the lineup for a few games, boy, do you notice it. We've gone through all the stats, right? Like, how they're out shooting opponents when he's on the ice versus how much they're getting outshot when he's off. It is really incredible the impact he's having on this team this year, and certainly did last year when he won the Norris Trophy as well. One of the things that the Canucks have been struggling with, and I mentioned it a little bit there, especially when Quinn Hughes isn't on the ice, it's been generating scoring chances. And, you know, last night they had a bit of a breakthrough in that regard. They got up to over 30 shots for the first time in a while against the Capitals. But as you said, beyond Quinn Hughes, a lot of similar skill sets in the defense corps for the Canucks, not necessarily guys who are very adept at moving the puck. How difficult is it for a team to consistently have the puck, consistently get scoring chances and shots on goal, considering the limitations the Canucks have on the blue line right now?
Yeah, it's really difficult. And, you know, when I say this, and I think we're on the same page, I mean, there's zero disrespect to the, you know, the crew of six that you have back there. It's just, would it be nice if there was a different balance? And when you talk about, when you look up front and you see the Vancouver forwards, a lot of speed there, a lot at the top end of it, really high end. You need the puck, you know, you need to get the puck coming out of your own end. And I always look at teams that maybe struggle to generate, and no, it's not what they're doing in the offensive zone. It's the fact that they're not really able to come up the ice with any speed because they're not getting out clean. Maybe it's a rim around the boards that you pull off your skate and then chip out to center and skate into it. Well, it's much nicer when you can make two or three passes and all of a sudden everyone's coming up connected. And just personnel wise, I don't think you get maybe enough of it that you need. And certainly up front, I mean, I like Vancouver's mix of guys when they're fully healthy, you know, really high end top six and guys that are really good role players, you know, 7 through 12. I think it's just a matter of having the puck in your hands a little bit more would make a big difference. And, you know, maybe an add of something to go with that top six group. I mean, this Jonathan Lekker-Mackey, I've been enthused about what I've seen yep. from him, and his relief and his shot really good, but maybe one more piece sort of helps get that together with getting Hronek back hopefully in about a month or so. You're going to be coming out of your zone a lot cleaner. And I think from a forward's perspective, it makes life a lot easier when you feel like you're going back and picking that thing up, you know, with a little bit of speed and you have it on your stick. You're not chasing it down to get possession and get in the zone.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, from everything we've heard, Jim Rutherford and Patrick Elvey, and they'd love to add that other puck-moving defenseman, but as you know, a lot easier said than done considering how valued they are around the league. And of course, you know, big storyline here in Vancouver right now, reports, consistent reports that the Canucks are at least exploring the idea of potentially trading one of JT Miller or Elias Pettersson. They're listening anyways, and, you know, it's pretty remarkable when you think both guys are signed to long-term deals. Both guys have had very, very productive recent seasons in the NHL, and those are typically not players that hit the trade market. Now we're hearing, if the reports are to be believed, that both from one team could be on the market. I mean, just as an observer, as you said, as a fan of the sport, as someone in the game, what's your reaction to hearing that, hey, both of these guys could potentially be on the market?
Yeah, I think it's the right thing to do. I mean, I'll just put my GM hat on, and I'm not one, I've never been, but I've often thought of things in terms of being a general manager, and what's the most responsible thing to do right now? Well, it's get out there and see what's available. You know, you put the names out there. Does something have to give? I think so. I don't know. I mean, I don't have as good a read on the Canucks as people that watch them every single game. I think the big question becomes how important is this season, 24-25? Is this our chance to win a Stanley Cup? Okay. Well, do you weigh things up and say, we hear what the offers are, maybe we see what could be available. Is that going to allow us to compete this year for a Stanley Cup and then moving on to next year and so on? Or is that something we look at and say, you know what, let's take our chances this year and maybe there's a better time to revisit it and reassess and see what the noise is like when April or May or June rolls around and see what your team looks like. But I do think you need to have the due diligence to put it out there and see the ways that your team could perhaps improve. But the one thing that I don't know is how important this season is to the Vancouver Canucks. Or do they feel like they're in a spot that they can compete year after year? And maybe you just wait for that perfect deal that not only do you move one of those guys out, but maybe you add a bit of replacing the skill of potentially one of these guys going out the door and then getting something else that complements your roster. The only people that know are Patrick Elvey and Jim Rutherford, but zero questions that they're asking those questions and doing the work right now and trying to assess that.
You think Lou Lamoriello is interested in another top six center from the Vancouver Canucks?
I think every team in the NHL would be interested in a top six center. I mean, as far as Lou goes, I mean, as is well documented, what he knows or what he's thinking, only he knows and only he gets to think about. So I've got no idea. I mean, the strength of the New York Islanders is probably their center depth. If there is one thing, you know, with Nelson and Horvat and Barzal's been at center a little bit in Pajot. So, pretty well set in the middle of the ice, but I guess you never know.
Just before we let you go, Thomas, Canucks play a division rival of the Islanders tonight, the Carolina Hurricanes. And, you know, we're so used to Carolina just perennially winning a ton of games, racking up points, playing their style in the regular season. What can fans expect from Carolina, from this version of the Carolina Hurricanes?
The same thing.
Yeah.
Extremely well-coached group. Personnel wise, they're a lot different than they were even last year, but they went out and found suitable replacements for you know, guys like Shea and Pesci on the back end. You know, bringing a guy like Sean Walker, is he as good as Brett Pesci or Brady Shea? Does he play the same game? No, he doesn't, but they found those fill-ins, and I think what they really did a good job at finding guys to come in that fit the style of hockey that the Carolina Hurricanes want to play. Jack Roslovic, Eric Robinson, guys that maybe weren't big names free agents wise, but brought them in, and they fit really well. The one thing I would say from what I've seen from Carolina this year, Marty Natchez is their best player, and it's hard to believe that because I'm a big fan of Sebastian Aho. I love the way he plays the game. I always thought he was going to be the number one, and then you fill in around him. But the poise that he has and the confidence that he has, he's been a ton of fun to watch. So when you're watching that game against Carolina, keep an eye out for number 88. He's a different player than he has been in the past couple of years, and things are coming really easy to him. He's massive. He skates really well, and his confidence is at all-time high. He's sort of got all of the tools that you'd sort of dream of when you're putting a player together and things have finally clicked. So that's the biggest difference that I've seen in Carolina this year is Natchez is, you know, he's a top line bona fide star now. He's been a pleasure to watch.
Thomas, this was great. I really appreciate you taking some time to chat with us. Thank you for your insight. Enjoy Vegas. Hopefully we can chat again soon.
You got it. Take care. Thank you.
That is Thomas Hickey, former NHL defenseman, of course, with the New York Islanders, now an analyst for the Islanders as well as NHL Network and doing the work on Amazon Prime for those broadcasts as well, weighing in on what he's seen from the Canucks, including recently in that Amazon game against Montreal. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. We got a few minutes before we go to break here. Randy Janda will join me on the other side. Looking forward to getting his thoughts about the game last night. But just before we do that, I threw out in the first segment, building off a conversation they were having on the morning show today. Simple. Are the Canucks playing well? And on the morning show, I'll put a timeline on this. Since Christmas, have the Canucks been playing well? And on the morning show, Bruff was basically saying, yeah, I think they have. Despite the pushback he's getting in the inbox and the frustration, another overtime loss, the results aren't there, the wins aren't there. Bruff was saying, look, I actually think they're playing pretty well. And obviously, I think this depends, and this is the most Canucks talk answer, because immediately turned into a semantic debate. But really, it does depend on how you define playing well. Because obviously, even the people, Bruff, saying, well, they're playing well, the caveat is, Lena and Arash are laughing at me. You know I'm right. The caveat is, well, they're playing well considering the circumstances, considering how many people they're missing. But I think there's a difference between working hard and looking good and playing like a really good team. And the Canucks, no doubt about it, are working hard right now. The effort is there. The energy is there. The intensity is there. All of that. Now, I know people quibble, oh, they're not sticking up for each other enough, whatever. The effort is there. The energy is there. And that's great. They deserve a lot of credit for that. But you also can't say, look at these games and say, well, they look like contenders. They obviously don't. Do they look like a lock playoff team in this recent stretch of games since Christmas? I wouldn't say that. I think they look like a fringe playoff team. So if you play a run of games where you look like a fringe bubble playoff team, a team that's going to have to scratch and claw for a playoff spot, for a wild card spot, does that mean you're playing well? I don't think so. I get it. I'm slicing it fine here. I understand that. But I think there's a difference between working hard and playing well. The Canucks are undeniably working hard. It's not the player's fault, per se, that they're not playing well. But I think it just goes to show that even when this team does get healthy, even when Elias Pettersson and Filip Hronek are back, if they keep this work ethic up, yes, the results will be better. But I also think we're seeing some of the limitations that will still exist once they get healthy. So playing hard, yes, and that's great, and that's important. It's a credit to the coaching staff. It's a credit to the players that they're doing that. They're not letting frustration set in. I'm not ready to sit here and say they're playing well, though. They don't look like a contender. They don't look like a surefire playoff team. They look like a fringe team. I have some talent concerns about the roster, about the level of talent on the roster. And yeah, some of those will be addressed when Pettersson and Hronek are back, but not all of them. All right, 650-650. That's the Dunbar Lumber text line. You can send your thoughts in about that question, whether the Canucks are playing well. A lot of people disagreed with me about my I don't care about 3-on-3 overtime take, so you can send it in those thoughts as well. Miller Pettersson stuff, whatever it is, get your thoughts into 650-650 to the Dunbar Lumber text line. As mentioned, Randeep Janda will join me, I think, in studio. I think I see Randeep back there. Yeah, there he is, in studio. And then we'll have Thomas Drance connecting remotely for the final segment. But up next, Randeep Janda here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.
Miss any part of Halford and Brough in the Morning? Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts and don't miss an episode.
Callum.
Yes, Michael.
Did you hear about how people don't have to pay the GST right now on certain items?
Yes, I heard about it.
Did you see the list of items?
Yes, I saw the list. It was mostly food, beer, wine, video games, newspapers, books, Christmas trees, and stuff like that.
Diamond engagement rings were not on that list?
Bummer.
Did you just say bummer?
Yes, I feel like engagement rings should be on the list.
Me too. That's why I'm adding Spence Diamond engagement rings to the GST-free list in BC and Alberta.
How are you going to do that?
I'm going to pay the GST for everyone who buys an engagement ring from Spence between now and February 15th.
That's going to cost you a ton of money, Michael.
And it's going to make a lot of people happy.
Hey, everybody. Michael is going to partner up with you on the cost of your engagement ring.
I'll pay the GST.
Spence. Wow! Located in Vancouver and Langley.
Scott McGilvery here. Noise from surrounding units can be an issue when it comes to condos. That's why I use DMX One Step 2.0. Its high sound rating ensures your floors are quiet and comfortable. DMX One Step 2.0 can be laid under most types of flooring, and it couldn't be easier to use. Installation requires no carpentry tools, and it's a breeze when it comes to cutting around kitchen cabinets. DMX One Step 2.0. No mold, no cold. Find it at Home Depot and Rona.
You there, have you tried Subway's new Snackwich bundles?
Whoa, you're a bundle of energy.
But they're just $5!
Okay, chill.
There will be no chill. Get a toasty turkey ranch Snackwich with crispy potato rings. It's a bundle of a deal.
Oh, sounds tasty.
Or a hearty soup with a honey mustard ham Snackwich on Chabana. It tastes like a bundle of joy.
Yes, I get it.
It's delicious and $5 at Subway.
Okay, bundle me in.
Price and participation may vary. Extras, taxes, and delivery additional. Expires February 16th, 2025.
Are you going to say it?
Yes way.
Want the best seat in the house for hockey?
Here's another chance to score!
Subscribe to Sportsnet Plus and stream the most NHL games available anywhere.
Did you see that?
What a beauty!
See your favorite teams in action at home or on the go.
Oh my goodness! 2 goals in 12 seconds!
Don't miss out on a full season of NHL action.
It's a game winner!
Subscribe at sportsnetplus.ca.
Crowd's got a reason to come to its feet.
Hurry, it's the last week of No Frills Deals for Days event. Until January 15th, shop amazing deals like select varieties of Italian pasta at only $1.69 a pack. No Frills, won't be beat. See flyer for details.
Sportsnet 650 and Barnside Brewing have dropped the gloves on a new pale ale that's perfect for hockey season. The brand new Five for Fighting Hazy Pale Ale. Designed to elevate every moment with its crisp, refreshing profile. Four packs available now at Barnside Brewing, participating retail locations, or on tap at your local pub. Visit sportsnet.ca/650 for a full list of locations. The Five for Fighting Hazy Pale from Sportsnet 650 and Barnside Brewing. Participating pubs and retailers. Download the Barnside app now.
Orthotics.
Footwear.
Orthotics.
Footwear.
Guys, enough. Kintech are experts in orthotics and footwear. It's what sets them apart. By tailoring orthotics to your shoes and shoes to your orthotics, you get comfort and support designed just for you.
Oh, so it's orthotics and footwear working together.
Like peanut butter and jelly.
You got it.
Or pickles and syrup.
Is that a thing?
PB&J.
Pickles and syrup.
Oh, boy. Kintech. Kintech Footwear
and Orthotics. New year, new floor. Tiles can add an elegant, luxurious, or even rustic look to your home. And there's no better place to find them than Tile Town. Locally owned and operated since 1971, Tile Town offers free design and consultation, do-it-yourself supplies, and their Schluter certified staff have the knowledge to help you with your project. Get started today at Tile Town. Visit them at any one of their three locations in Victoria, Richmond, and Langley, and online at mytiletown.ca.
Every hit, every goal, every save. Catch it all at your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. All season, watch Vancouver hockey at BP and get bonus fan fun, like $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, the official beer of Canuck fans. Plus, don't miss weekly prize giveaways. Every game, home and away, Boston Pizza is your local sports bar. $5 pints of Canadian and Coors Light, the delicious food of BP and Vancouver hockey. All season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza.
The Vancouver Giants take on their rivals from Kelowna Saturday, January 11th at 7 p.m. There's no love lost between these teams. Come see the G-Men ground the Rockets in the third meeting in the last 3 weeks. Grab your seats today at vancouvergiants.com/tickets.
Every hit, shot, save, and goal. Listen to Alpine Credits Canucks Hockey live on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. CISL Vancouver is Sportsnet 650, the official home of the Canucks, Giants, and everything hockey. Listen live anytime on the Sportsnet app.
Welcome back to Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650. I am Jamie Dodd. Drance on the road right now. He's going to tap in for the final segment of the show here. I'm broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. And joining me now in studio, very special guest. He's a presentation of Bells and Whistles, your new favorite place to catch all the action. Hockey, football, soccer, and more on Fraser, right in the Fraser Hood, on socials at Bells and Whistles YVR. He is Randy Janda. What's going on, man?
What's going on? A very special guest. I got to say, Jamie, we've hosted shows together. You never
It's always special.
Before.
It's always special.
It's been a while, though, so I appreciate it, man.
I'm always excited to see you. And by the way, kudos on the Bells and Whistles.
Love the place.
Fantastic.
Me and you are guys
love
that
bells
appreciate
and
that place.
Love Bells and Whistles.
And to be a a presentation of them, that's...
that means a lot. That's why you're a special guest.
Hey, there you go. You love the place. We were there a couple of weeks ago.
Absolutely.
Shared a couple of coffees.
You've been... that's right. You've been elevated to special guest because of the Bells and Whistles. All right, so... Game two of a five-game road trip. We all knew it was going to be tough, and now they are two games in, two overtime losses. What did you think of the performance last night?
Yeah, I thought, there's going to be a lot of discussion, and the boys and I talked about it post-game yesterday as well. Was that, points dropped? Was that a win you can say, hey, that's a step in the right direction? I look at it as that's the style they want to play.
Yes.
That's what they want to do. They want to forecheck. They want to squash plays in the neutral zone. They want to... have that back pressure, which is something we saw the second period on. First period was very low event, 5-on-5, no chances on the 4-minute power play, one shot on goal. So the first period aside, I thought that was a step in the right direction. Neutral zone play, offensively particularly. The shots on goal are something we're focusing on, but the zone time, the fact that they were able to lean on the Washington Capitals, we haven't seen that consistently from this team. So that effort yesterday, and the key word being effort, execution was there. Unfortunately, they couldn't get that goal, but that's the style that Rick Tocchet wants his team to play. And to me, I know people are going to say moral victory, silver lining, whatever. That was a different game. That was something you can take from that game and say, hey, that's the way they want to play.
I think it's as simple as the fact that they've lost so many games in overtime and in a shootout makes each one more frustrating, and as they mount up, and the fact that they might need every point down the stretch, it hurts. But that doesn't mean it was a bad process. And look, we're halfway through the season, so yes, it's getting late. It's not October. The later you get, the less process matters, the more results matter. But process does still matter. And I said earlier in the show, one of the things that Rick Tocchet said last night after the game that really caught my attention was he said, we've used the last couple of days to kind of evaluate and think about how we want to play, what we want our team identity to be. He probably didn't think they'd have to be doing that in January, but if they were able to have something of a reset where they kind of went back to the drawing board and said, okay, guys, remember, this is what we want to be. Here's the pieces we have. Here's how we need to play to be successful. Again, as you said, that's the way that I think we saw that template against Washington. So it's not just a moral victory. It could be a really important signifier of, maybe we found a little bit of process, a better process that we can continue having going forward.
Yeah, there's always this thought, and I've been a part of this thought process as well, is, hey, okay, when this team gets a little bit healthier, they can execute.
Mm-hmm.
They can, play the style they want to play. Well, Jamie, in the NHL, nobody's healthy, right? We're talking about Quinn Hughes playing with an issue with the hand. There's been a lot of discussion on Elias Pettersson, JT Miller, Philip Hronek, who is hopefully turning a corner here, and we might see him in a couple of weeks. But the point is, with this team, you still have to play a certain style. We're into January now. We're almost into the second week fully. And to see, to have that discussion of a team hasn't found their identity yet, you can't really do that in the middle of January, heading into February. So whoever's available, you have to start really turning a corner and forming that identity. And you have to refine it. Whether that means, you know, changes down the road, of course. We've been talking about it, I want to say, since training camp about, you know, is this back end good enough? Will there be changes? And that conversation's gotten louder and louder as this team has played. That doesn't mean you still don't make tweaks. You don't assess and you refine your game. The simpler they play out of the back end, the simpler guys like Desharnais and Noah Juulsen play, it makes it a little bit easier. But it's a five-man unit that's going to make those changes. And I think that's the key in that second period yesterday, where you did see some of those players just, you know, squash those plays in the neutral zone. And I always focus on the neutral zone because they defend the best. They launch attacks the other way. They attack teams on the forecheck when they control the neutral zone.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, they've just been too inconsistent in that area of the ice.
The blue line, it's, look, we all know it's deeply flawed past Quinn Hughes. And especially when Hronek's out of the lineup, it's a major issue. However, you watch these games and there are forwards making bad passes, right? There are forwards bobbling the puck. There are forwards playing hot potato with the puck. And, you know, instead of holding on to it and making a play like Tocchet wants, it's not just the blue line. You know what I mean?
Well, also,
it's
no third man high at times.
Yeah.
Right? When
like
you're leaving guys exposed.
There's sometimes this, like, well, I mean, what do you, like, no one can get them the puck. It's like, well, the forwards have agency here. There's things they can do. And I think you're right that in that second period, especially the final 10 minutes, you saw better performances from the five-man unit. Yes, is it going to be a struggle when it's, you know, Vincent Desharnais and Derek Forbort out there, or Noah Juulsen and Carson Soucy? Yeah, there's things the forwards are going to do to have to compensate, but you still have to try to find solutions if you're out there on the ice.
Well, it's like you, right, when you're pulling a solo.
That's right.
You know what? You're going to be handling the puck a little bit more, and you're going to maybe throw pizza every now and then, but that's,
you know,
all right.
What?
It's expected.
It's kind of easier, to be honest.
Wait, you have more of the puck.
Yeah.
You can skate with it. You can do whatever you want. You can dance the blue line. Usually you don't get a chance to do it.
That's right.
But, okay.
I'm like Tyler Myers in overtime. It's like, my time to shine. Let's go.
Might not be the comparison you want, but okay. Okay. But on that second period, though, I think there was one line that I really liked their style of play, and we've seen it in stretches for this team when they're together. I thought Heinen, Bluger, and Sherwood kind of got it going, where they were able to, you know, play that hard game through the middle of the ice, where whether it's Bluger stepping up on guys in the neutral zone, whether it's Sherwood and Heinen, F1, F2, there to support, they kind of got it going. But let's be honest, it's Quinn Hughes. Quinn Hughes starts off that period launching an attack the other way. And when you have that guy on the ice for half of the game, you're going to be in a good way, but you just need that help. You need those other players. And that does include the forwards. It's not only the defense.
What do you think about the defiance might be a little bit too strong, but maybe a little bit more emotion from Quinn Hughes post-game? And, you know, obviously he was mixed up in it physically with Pierre-Luc Dubois and probably felt hard done by the penalty situation and how that played out. But I thought it was interesting to hear, you know, considering what the results have been, him come out and pretty confidently say, look, we're a good team, and repeat that a couple of times post-game last night.
Yeah, that's something that I think, you know, we've seen from this team and heard from this team a couple of times. After the Seattle game, I remember I asked JT Miller a very similar question of how do you basically, you know, have a hard practice? How do you rebound from that? And he's like, listen, we played a good 55 minutes. We played a good game. Despite that result, they look at the totality of the game, and credit to them. And I think in a results-based business, you're saying 2 points, should have had the 2 points. But I think as a player, when you play 27 minutes, when you are able to control the majority of that game, you're able to control the shot clock for good stretches of that game. What was it, 20 shots on goal for Vancouver in the second period? I like the defiance to say, yeah, it's not as bad as you think it is. We're just maybe a couple of opportunities away. And go back to the Nashville game. It's a 1-0 game. I know it doesn't end 1-0, but it's a one-goal game where if you don't have that one moment and you don't lose that one moment, we're talking about Vancouver victory. Another overtime loss. You're getting points from it, right?
Yep.
Go back to the Calgary game. There are a couple of moments in that game where it ends up being 3-1, but there's compounded mistakes on one or two moments. that end up costing you the game. So they're not that far away. I think offensive creation is going to be the big issue here because we focus a lot on defense, but for a team that has a top line that, you know, against Montreal was clicking yesterday, Logan Thompson made a number of saves in the second period. That's going to be the area where you're saying, okay, if you get a couple more goals or if you get one more goal in that moment, the conversation around last night's game might be a very different. Say, hey, big gutsy win, character win, but you don't get it, right? So yeah. I can understand why Quinn is defining that because the process, based on the process, that was the right style of game that they want to play.
So obviously the overtime loss thing is starting to get a lot of attention. They're leading the league in that category with 10. You know, Pittsburgh has 8, Calgary 7. Something like Dallas has 1 overtime loss, which is incredible when you think about it. And I said, look, what I said earlier in the show is I get the frustration, especially when they're stacking on top of each other and you're not assured of a playoff spot. And yeah, it could absolutely come back to bite you. Those missed points could be a big deal at the end of the season. At the same time, I think we're reacting and overreacting too much to these overtime losses because, like, 3-on-3 is a gimmick. It's not real hockey. It doesn't exist in the playoffs. Yeah, was that a bad play last night? Yes, absolutely it was, but it doesn't really tell us anything about the quality or anything important about the quality of the Canucks. So it's frustrating. It might cost them. You don't love to see it, but it's also not evidence that they're underperforming or that they're a bad team or anything like that. They're losing some coin flips right now. It sucks. It sucks to be on the wrong end of a bad string of luck, but it doesn't tell us anything about the team. What do you think?
When it comes to overtime losses, I'm kind of going to side towards what you're saying as it is a bit of a crapshoot, right? And there are decisions in overtime that you can make that will make it or break it. When Quinn Hughes is on the ice, you're sitting pretty good. Unfortunately, as Rick Tocchet said, he can't play.
Can't play him all.
He can't
all
play
five
him
minutes.
The entire 5 minutes out of OT. Here's the thing, though. I think on that play, we can all look at Jake DeBrusk going into the corner and saying, okay, you know, you read the play wrong. You shouldn't have gone in there. There's 3 players. But there's certain things that this team does practice that they still have cracks in their game. Mm-hmm. And I think I want to focus on line changes. Even before that goal that was scored yesterday by Pierre-Luc Dubois, Dubois had another chance on a 3-on-2. The reason it was a 3-on-2 was Brock Besser gets caught in no man's land. He's going for a change and then decides, uh-oh, transition attack the other way. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
That hesitation causes a chance. So there's things in their process in overtime, maybe indecisiveness, that has cost them in moments. And that's been a focus for Rick Tocchet in practice. One practice, and this is the first time I've really seen it, they practice changing on the fly in overtime at Vancouver practice, which is, you know, we were talking amongst the other media there, and you just don't see that very often. So it has been a focus for this team. When you see that, you say, okay, it's not going as smoothly as they want. Now, in this city, overtime losses, I don't think it's as big a deal in terms of the discussion. I think the root cause of this frustration is the 12 blown lead losses.
Yeah.
You know, the 6 losses after leading after 40 minutes. It's ended up being overtime losses, but it's the lack of maybe a little bit more panic in their game. Their ability or inability to move the puck out cleanly and get ozone time, and all of a sudden you're flipping it up, and guess what? You're getting attacked with speed. You're eating pressure. You're taking penalties. So I don't think it's the overtime losses. I think it's the lack of composure. And that does go back to the forwards because they're not playing their game necessarily. They're not supporting defensemen. But, Jamie, they do need another defenseman. One of them is Filip Hronek. They probably need another one that's not on this roster.
Well, and I think the other thing, even beyond, okay, they've blown these leads. Yeah, and that's frustrating, especially considering their defensive game last year. But they're just in so many close games. And when that happens, you're going to lose some coin flips, whether it's in regulation and the other team gets one of those extra moments or whether it ends up going into overtime. And you can say, like, well, it's good that they've been on all of these close games. They're keeping games tight, even when they're undermanned, and that's fair. But good teams have blowout wins. Good teams have comfortable wins, right? Really good teams have a certain amount of comfortable wins throughout the season. I mean, how many games have the Canucks won legitimately by more than one goal, right? So not counting an empty netter. Like a handful. I mean, when's the last time Florida, the 4-0 one against Florida? Because even they beat Colorado, but that's an empty netter yep. at the end of the game. You know, that I think a lot of what we're talking about, as much as we frame it as, you know, sloppiness in overtime or an inability to hold a lead, well, often the lead is like one goal, right? Because they don't have the offensive juice to put a team to bed like they did against Florida. because you see that, right? Okay, if you're up 2-0 going into the third period, the other team's still got some life. If you find that third and fourth goal earlier in the game, they're probably not mounting that comeback. And I think it's just a lot of this ultimately comes back to they need to score more. They need to be more dangerous offensively. Then you wouldn't be in so many one-goal coin flip situations.
Well, it's also how many games have they been goalied? Like the Nashville game, maybe, by UC Saros?
I wouldn't say that, honestly.
And I heard some of the chatter of...
He made, like, one or two really nice saves, but it wasn't like they were, oh, how did they not score? It was like, I don't know.
It was a good game from UC Saros.
Yeah, but it wasn't elite.
No. So it's not even about they can't score. It's about can you get consistent zone time? Can you get consistent shifts where you're changing on the fly? You're leaning on the opposition. And that's what area that they were really good at last year. When you talk about playing keep away, drawing penalties, getting teams to take penalties mm-hmm. against you, or at the very least, you know, really, you know, scoring late into their shift. That was something that Vancouver was good at. So scoring is one thing. I think the ability or inability to lean on teams and have that zone time is a big issue here for this team. So scoring is one thing.
Yeah.
But it's also about that zone time. And, you know, I look at the way that they played against Washington in that second period, and that's why I'm optimistic. That reminds me of the team last year. Very different personnel, very different, you know, players right now. And I think a couple of things that they're missing. One would be, I mentioned it earlier, I think the neutral zone is really easy for the opposition.
Mm.
And I think the length of this team provides them the opportunity, stick checks, big physical guys to stand up the opposition at the blue line. But there was an element last year, especially late last year when Zadorov was on the ice, you had to keep your head on a swivel because you could get knocked in the next week. Like, we don't maybe acknowledge the intimidation factor a little bit more, but when a guy takes a run at you, and even if he misses, guess what? The next time,
yeah,
you're keeping your eyes open. You might be chipping and chasing rather than trying to carry the puck up the ice. Like, that does have an element, and I think that blue line is missing that right now to say, who's that player you're saying, okay, you know what? Maybe I'm just going to dump it in. Maybe we're going to dump and chase. Because Vancouver is the tired group that's doing that. But it's kind of easy right now mm-hmm. to have a controlled entry against Vancouver.
And that's a big change from last year, where they were really good through the neutral zone. And it wasn't just Zadorov and the guys on the blue line. It was the whole I think when we hear talk about them being connected, we think offense, and that's usually correct. But it's through the neutral zone as well, where they're all moving in concert and they're pushing the guy into the walls. They're forcing the dump in, right? So it's just another example of that kind of cohesion that I think they're still trying to find. You bring up Zadorov. And again, I know he's been top of mind for a lot of Canucks fans. We see all the antics with Dubois and Wilson last night. And then all of a sudden there's this avalanche of people. Oh, they really missed Zadorov. It's like, that's not why they lost, though. Like, okay, Dubois gets under Hughes' skin, and that sucks, and maybe there should have been more pushback. But then the Canucks were way better than them in the second period. They outshot them 2-1 in regulation. It's not as if that set the tone, and then they dominated the Canucks for the rest of the game. Look, I get the fascination with Zadorov. Obviously, he did a lot to kind of make himself a folk hero for Canucks fans in the playoffs last year. I think we're getting a little far. We're going a little far here, right? Like, he is not a transformative player. He's not going to come in and single-handedly change how this team plays. And they weren't a Zadorov away from winning last night.
And Zadorov also on losing teams is a different cat, right?
Yep.
Go ask Calgary. He was a different presence in the room. So if he makes an influence and a positive influence on the ice, no doubt he's a physical player. But I think having a player of his, you know, stature on the ice doesn't hurt you in those moments. Now, going back to that Dubois versus Hughes exchange, in the moment, Sherwood goes after Dubois. He's the one that lands the hit.
Mm-hmm.
JT Miller's in the mix trying to stand up for Sherwood. Tom Wilson tackles him. So there is an immediate response. Later in the game, Desharnais tries to engage Dubois behind the play. Desharnais ends up getting a penalty himself. So there is a response. And I think we also have to acknowledge Dubois is well known for not fighting anybody.
Yeah.
Like, he is well known about that. So I think the fact that they lost that game, nobody likes to see their star all-world defenseman get roughed up like that. And there's scars of the past here in Vancouver that I'm not going to acknowledge, but we know what we're talking about. But that was different to me. That was, you acknowledge that in the moment. There's a little bit of back and forth later on in the game. Dubois does not engage. If anything, he draws a penalty from Desharnais and really takes advantage of that situation. Mm-hmm. Unless you go flat out tackle him and start punching him. Like, is that
that? And then you get kicked out of the game.
You get kicked out of the game. It's not worth it, right? Now, with Quinn Hughes, though, I do want to talk a little bit about him because I think yesterday was probably, considering we don't know, you know, we're seeing what he's dealing with in some way or form, that contraption on his hand. That was such an impressive performance from this guy yet again. And in the Montreal game, Lane Hutson played well. But he had Quinn Hughes yesterday, 4 minutes and 30 seconds of possession time in yesterday's game. No player has more than 4 minutes and 18 seconds of possession time outside of Quinn Hughes this season. And that's not even Quinn's highest.
Yeah.
Quinn's highest possession time in a game was 6 minutes and 10 seconds.
And nobody's done more than 418. So he's 2 minutes ahead of the next highest guy.
Nobody's done more than 418. So yesterday was a special game, but it's not even close to the most special game.
It's special for everyone else except Quinn Hughes, basically.
And I'm including Cale Makar in that group. I'm including Adam Fox. I'm including Lane Hutson.
Roman Josi.
Roman Josi. That's how special a game is. So it's good to get fired up about, you know, getting the defenseman getting treated a certain way. But I think in that moment, if you're trying to win that game, you respond in the second, you respond later on in the game. And Quinn's a big boy, you know.
It's like, again, it's not like he didn't play well. It's not like he was ticked, like, oh, he was off his game. He played incredibly well. And those possession stats come in a game where he sat in the box for 6 minutes and 22 seconds.
He probably would have been over five if he was actually on the ice because, as we know, that power play, puck would have been on his stick the entire, almost the entire time.
It is wild just how, I've talked about this a lot, but just how much he does on every shift for them. Like how much he's responsible for doing, breaking up the play in the defensive zone, getting it out of the zone, getting it into the zone, setting up the jet. Like everything is like, I'll do it. He's like, usually it's like three or four guys combining to do that on the ice with Quinn Hughes. He's just, nope, no, I'm going to take care of all of it. Elias Pettersson looks set to come back against Carolina tomorrow. They send Shelovs down to back to Abbotsford today, so they have an open roster spot to bring him off IR. I said this earlier in the show, but it does feel like we're having all these different conversations about the Canucks and the blue line and, you know, Tocchet's offensive strategy and all of this. I don't know that any of it is really going to matter unless we see Elias Pettersson at his best, or something very, very close to his best for an extended stretch. And there was that period in November where I wouldn't say he was at his best, but at least he was putting up points, right? The production was there, and that's kind of step one, or a prerequisite, at least. Then it goes dry in December, has those two goals against the Sharks before he's out with injury, so maybe you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Now he's coming back from injury, so again, you're going to kind of say, well, okay, is it just rust when he comes back? But I just can't escape. You know, I think in the next four or five games that we see Elias Pettersson, either we see the good version, the really good version, or we see the same version we're getting used to over the last year here. And whichever one we see, I think it's going to tell us a lot about where this Canucks game or where this Canucks season is going based on which version of Elias Pettersson we get.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about the road trip, but, you know, one of the main topics around this team, Jamie, has been when everybody gets healthy.
Yeah.
Right? And, of course, Hughes and Pettersson are on top of that list. Dakota Joshua plays a role, but we know it's more of a complementary role.
Mm-hmm.
With Pettersson, that 1-2 punch for this road trip, but even beyond. You know, I look at that Carolina team, Sebastian Aho, you've got Kotkaniemi, who's playing second line right now. Like, that's a game. If JT Miller and Elias Pettersson are playing their game, advantage Vancouver. Like, it should be, right? But we haven't seen them play out that way. So I think with Pettersson, two things. What his health situation is going to be. He's been cleared by doctors, according to Rick Tocchet yesterday. Just waiting on the player. When he's good to go, they'll go. Well, okay. It's go time now. It's a high-pressure situation.
Mm-hmm.
And even heard, you know, Kiefer Sherwood pregame with the panel on the TV broadcast yesterday talking about the Canadian market. There's a lot of pressure because, you know, that's what this market is all about. That's what a Canadian market's all about. Now, there's all this discussion. How do you shut everybody up? How do you get everybody, and I mean everybody, I'm getting stopped on the street here, getting asked about Elias Pettersson and JT Miller. How do you shut everybody up? It's put that best game forward. And I'm not talking about putting up 4 points like JT did. If you can do that, that's great. But win your matchups. And this is a discussion we had last year in the Nashville series. And, you know, Pettersson got soft matchups in that series.
Couldn't win it.
Couldn't win it.
Yep.
And they were pairing the third and fourth line against them at times. Michael McCarron's line was
No, they were. 100% of the time,
sure.
They were.
And they weren't even, you know, putting up the top six, right?
Nope.
So since then till now, we've been talking about him winning his matchups. And now it's even that much more important because you need to make up for lost time. The top teams in the Pacific and the West, there's some clear separation there now. You're fighting for a wild card spot. It's very much a high percentage. I heard you talking about, 74% according to Dom's model. But games in hand, games remaining, they're as good as nothing if you don't take advantage of it. Yep. And that's what they have to do. And I think Elise Pettersson, JT Miller, those guys, that 1-2 punch, you need it here for the second half of the season.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's got to be a difference maker when he gets back into the lineup. Randeep, thank you. Much appreciated. I assume you're off to bells and whistles now. 1:30, time to start?
Maybe around 2. Maybe around 2. If you want to meet me there, folks, listeners,
anyways,
come to Bells and Whistles.
He's Randeep Jand, of course, color analyst here on Sportsnet 650 and also a part of Hockey Night in Canada, Punjabi. Thanks for doing this, Randeep. We'll take a break. Drancer will join me next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.
This is your home of the Canucks.
Hughes, left wing to center for Pettersson. One-on-one with Sider to the Red Wings line. Makes a move, high slot. Drops left circle, DeBrusk shoots, he scores! Jake DeBrusk wins it with the hat-trick goal!
Sportsnet 650.
Touchdowns, one-timers, home runs, and knockouts. The Clayton Public House is your home for sports. Don't miss a second of the action on one of their 15 screens and two giant projectors. Mondays, check out All Day Happy Hour. And on Wednesdays, rip into $1 crab legs. Good food, good people, good times. And not a bad seat to be found. Get your table early at the Clayton Public House, 188th Street and Highway 10 in Surrey, and theclaytonpub.com.
Explore skiing in BC this winter.
Hello, Vancouver. It's Michael Jay up here at beautiful Big White Ski Resort. Happy New Year from everybody at the Okanagan Champagne Powder, capital of British Columbia. And have I got a deal for you. Vancouver, you're a local, and you never need to pay full price. Simply log on to bigwhite.com, go to the Hot Deals page. You won't stand in line, you won't pay full price, and you will have the time of your life. We'll see you at bigwhite.com.
Super natural British Columbia.
Take back your free time with PC Express Online grocery delivery and pickup. Score in-store promos, PC Optimum points, and more free time. And still get groceries. Shop now at pcexpress.ca.
Every employer in BC needs to prepare a written first aid assessment for each of their workplaces. BCCSA is excited to announce the launch of their new first aid assessment app, designed specifically to support construction employers in BC. This app contains the latest requirements and helps determine the first aid equipment, supplies, and facilities required at every workplace, and determines and documents the minimum and additional first aid required for your workplace. For more info, visit bccsa.ca and click on First Aid Assessment.
Michael?
Yes, Callum?
We're selling a ton of natural diamonds.
Visibly better diamonds. Obviously better prices. Customers love it.
Our natural diamonds are visibly better because of our incredibly high cutting standards.
The sparkle of a diamond is determined only by its cut.
And our prices for natural diamonds are obviously better due to how we buy our diamonds.
Visibly better diamonds. Obviously better prices.
We pay cash on the spot. Other stores ask for extended payment terms.
Spence Diamond buyers pay cash to all the diamond cutting houses across Europe and Asia.
And that means we get first pick of all the freshly cut diamonds.
Cash talks.
Cash speaks every language on earth. That's why we have visibly better diamonds and obviously better prices.
When people have been shopping for engagement rings and they come into Spence Diamonds,
yes?
Their eyes get big and their smiles get even bigger.
I love that.
Me too.
Spence. Wow! Located in Vancouver and Langley.
Act fast to witness the groovy shining star, a tribute to Earth, Wind & Fire at the Skagit Casino Resort. Featuring a talented ensemble that captures the energy and spirit of the legendary band. Friday and Saturday, February 21st and 22nd, 8 p.m. both nights. Tickets on sale now. Must be 21 or older. Visit theskagit.com for more details.
The Skagit Valley Casino.
More than 30,000 business owners choose Chambers Plan, Canada's number one plan for employee benefits. It's the simple, stable, and smart choice for employee benefits, from health and dental to life and disability. For more than 40 years, Chambers Plan has been backed by knowledgeable advisors who understand Canadian businesses and Canadian employees. Stable and secure, Chambers Plan programs are designed to help owners continue to take good care of their employees. Get started today at chamberplan.ca.
At the destination Slope Outfitters in North Vancouver, we custom fit boots, but the same people who know boots so well also actually ski or board. Hi, I'm Paul Zirk of The Destination, and I'm sure that one or more of our experienced staff will know all about what you used to ride so they can guide you through the maze of what's next. We have a huge selection of brands and models, so we can help you pick your new favorite. The Destination Slope Outfitters, thedestination.ca, Vancouver's favorite custom boot fitters.
This product may not be right for you. Always read and follow the label.
Feeling exhausted and bloated after too much fatty food, alcohol, and sweets over the holidays? Help give your liver a boost. This year, make the resolution to support your liver's health with Active Liver from New Nordic. Available in tablet or gummy, Active Liver's high-quality ingredients like milk thistle, artichoke, and turmeric extracts are the perfect combination to help support a healthy liver. Find Active Liver at Shoppers Drug Mart, Walmart, Loblaws, Jean Coutu, and London Drugs, or online at Amazon and NewNordic.ca.
Hurry! It's the last week of No Frills Deals for Days event. Until January 15th, shop amazing deals like select varieties of Italian pasta at only $1.69 a pack. No frills. Won't be beat. See flyer for details.
Every hit, shot, save, and goal.
Listen to Alpine Credits Canucks Hockey live on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Sportsnet 650, Vancouver.
You want me to think that you're wild?
Welcome back to Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd here live from the Kintech Studio. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rent-a-warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at dunbarlumber.com. Now joining me, of course, on the road, but he's hustled to his hotel room in Toronto to get on the show for the final segment. He is Thomas Drantz. What's going on, Drantzer?
As inevitable as a Vancouver Canucks overtime loss are travel delays for me on this road trip.
Yeah.
It's been really remarkable.
It's a tough gig on the road, man.
Ah, it's fine. I mean, I love it, but yeah. So, I mean, let's start here. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
What's the inbox been saying? What's the mood around the game last night?
I would characterize it as primarily frustration. Because of another overtime loss. I think that's fair. And again, you know, it's one of those moments where it was a bad play and it looks really bad in a screenshot, right? So it's easily to really focus in on three guys in the corner versus terrible, poorly coached team, all of that, right? Like, these guys aren't serious. You didn't pick up a point. So yeah, they played well in the second period, but I would say generally it is a frustrated mood from Canucks fans and in the inbox and in the market today.
Well, that matches how Quinn Hughes felt.
Mm-hmm.
But like Alexi Protas streaking around the net in freak-like magnetic fashion, drawing three checkers to him. Let me chime in at the end here. One thing I'll say about the Canucks since Christmas, and I thought last night was maybe the most emblematic example we've got of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling like there's uncertainty about what we're getting right now, night to night. Team doesn't have juice right now. Team, frankly, has lacked juice throughout the last 18 months, even as positivity has ebbed and flowed. But if they'd competed all season the way they have the last six games, they'd have five or seven more points.
Mm.
And the fact that that part of this team's game is coming on, and that last night was such a, you know, high quality distillation of it. I take some hope from that. Like, I take some heart in that. The way that this team is playing right now, you know, they can't score. They're struggling to manufacture things. Even in the second period, where they get the 20 shots. And really, it was the last 11 minutes of the second period because they had four shots in the first half of that period and then really started to pepper the Washington Capitals. But, like, you have the Besser rush chance, but he doesn't cut in, right? You mostly had stuff from outside.
Yeah, there's a couple rebound chances in there, yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there were, but, like, Logan Thompson looked so comfortable, right? And until he couldn't quite handle Quinn Hughes, like, it's not like they were forcing Logan Thompson to make incredible saves. They were just strong positional saves, and he controlled every rebound until he couldn't on that one Quinn Hughes point shot that resulted in Sherwood's game tire. So, you know, I thought the Canucks played pretty well, and I think that Capitals team is, you know, pretty difficult to match up against.
Mm-hmm.
Although, man, Alex Ovechkin last night. Did it play on TV? Did it look as bad on TV as it did in person?
No.
Okay.
No, it wasn't like because a standout thing for me.
Okay, yeah. No, it was incredibly obvious in person. And when he comes through on January 25th, hopefully he regains a step because he's still working his way back from that injury. Mm-hmm. And the production has been there, but the skating speed has not returned. And, you know what he looked like to me? He looked like when you get one of those teams that they're like, they are a top flight European team in soccer, but they're not, you know, in one of the big four leagues.
Yep.
It's like PSG or, you know, Galatasaray or whatever.
Besiktas.
And they're playing in the Champions League. And
yep.
Yeah, exactly. And they've got some aging striker, a guy who used to be like a fearsome, you know, ball winner and great striker and, you know, golden boot competitor. But now they're relatively immobile.
Mm-hmm.
And the team still like runs their offense through them, but you know they'd be better off if they didn't. Right. It's just like hopeful crosses into the box and then they can't move on the press at all. And the teams are just kind of like very easily passing out from the back and attacking the midfield. Like that's what Ovechkin was last night. And the Canucks actually ruthlessly kind of exploited it. Like they figured out what the measure of it was because that's what NHL players do. They probe for weakness and Ovechkin's immobility is a significant issue for the Capitals, especially given how, you know, significant a machine they were. And here's where, like, if he doesn't find that step, because it was more pronounced yesterday than it, I think it was prior to his injury. So I do hope that this is a short-term thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're going to have to cut his minutes significantly. Like, they're not going to be able to survive against the Devils or the Hurricanes in the playoffs with Ovechkin playing in the top six if he looks anything like he did last night. So that was unfortunate. That was, like, a sad part of the game last night for me. But I really liked the Canucks compete level generally. And I liked their defense. I thought they took over the game after, you know, about that key mark, 29 minutes in. I thought there was absolutely a chance where they could have been down 3-0 at that point, which is a familiar script for this team at the moment. But, you know, I do think they played really well and I do think they competed really hard. And I do think they've done that consistently now across six games. And look, if they compete like that, Utah and Calgary, they're not catching them. Like, they will be able to ward off sort of the disastrous scenarios here, the extreme scenarios, provided that that's a mainstay, a consistent feature of the game, the way it has been the last 2 weeks.
And I thought it was striking to hear Rick talk and I think kind of acknowledge what you're talking about. Last night after the game, or at least something similar, where he said they used a couple of days before the game or leading into the game to kind of evaluate and take stock of what they wanted their identity to be and how they needed to play. And as you said, look, it's not as if it was they flipped the page just last night. They've been playing closer to that, certainly with the effort since Christmas. But it gives me at least a little bit more reason to be optimistic that they have kind of gotten back to that identity. You know, to hear Rick Tocchet acknowledge it and say, like, this is something that we've really been working at and we've been using, especially time on this road trip, to kind of get to. And I think you're right. It goes that level of effort consistently. That was a huge part of what we saw from this team last year. And they were one of how many games did they just straight up outwork teams? Not outclass them or outskill them, but outwork teams last year. It was a huge number of them.
Constant. it was a constant feature of what this team was able to do. And last night, at least, they did that, especially in the second half of the game. I mean, they had Connor Garland pulling out breakdancing moves, defending without a stick on a two-on-one. Like, he literally did the dirty worm to try and break up a pass. I've never seen it before, but it nearly worked. You had multiple guys stepping to Tom Wilson. You know, God bless him. I wouldn't want to do it. And, you know, I thought up and down the lineup, like, that was a hard-fought game in which the Canucks, yeah, outworked the Capitals and grinded out a point. It was one of those losses that looked to me like progress, looked to me like something that the team can actually kind of hang their hat on, build some confidence off of, going into a pretty tough back-to-back here against the Hurricanes and the Leafs on Monday and Saturday.
Now, we expect that they're going to get Elias Pettersson back for Carolina tomorrow. They send Shelovs down today, so they got the open roster spot, can bring Pettersson off IR. Obviously, he was a game-time decision for last night's game, doesn't ultimately end up getting in the lineup. But I'm going to be fascinated to see how Pettersson looks, how it changes the dynamic of the team, not just in the first game, but over the next, you know, three, four, five games here when he gets back into the lineup. Because since Christmas, we've kind of fallen into this pattern of talking about the team like, oh, they're really struggling to score, but, you know, their personnel is so limited right now. And certainly when Hughes is out of the lineup, you completely understand that. And they're still missing Pettersson and Hronek. But I also can't quite escape the idea that, are they still going to be limited offensively even when Pettersson is back and then Hronek eventually as well? Because it's not as if Pettersson has been a massive needle mover offensively for this team in quite some time now, right? And if you were dropping in game-breaking Elias Pettersson to a team that has rediscovered some of that like hard work identity, well, then I'm very interested, right? Like, that's really interesting. But if it's just, you know, Elias Pettersson, who's been really reliable defensively and is finding his points here or there, but it's not a game-breaker, I'm not sure how much higher your ceiling becomes other than really hard-working, scrappy, wild-card team.
Well, and the problem is these guys are getting into the lineup, but they need them to stay in the lineup and play well enough and then get healthy enough to get back to their games, right? I mean, we saw JT Miller dead-armed, right, miss a shift late in the first period and gut it out. We know that Quinn Hughes, you know, he's taking off that glove. We see him flexing it.
Yeah.
I mean, he still does a couple things. Like, he had that one pickup off the wall where in one stride he controlled the puck on his backhand and then also just like was already moving his lower body to propel himself into the center. And it was just like, what are we talking about? How do you do this every night? It's amazing that he does it every night and that it never gets old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm never not jaw on the ground watching him play and have one of those sequences where he just does something of such intense difficulty at such a high speed under such a high level of duress and makes it look like he's, you know, not even sweating, like he's sitting in a lazy boy. You know, it's just unbelievable stuff. And I thought he was unbelievable last night.
He was so good.
But that said, you know, Pettersson comes in and we'll see how healthy he is. We'll see what he looks like, because that's going to be a big part of this, right? It's not just that it's not like, oh, they'll have Pettersson and Hughes and Miller back. It's like they will, but it's not necessarily that they'll all have them all back at 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could still cause this team to struggle in terms of that juice aspect that they lack, arguably even when those guys are at 100%. But Pettersson has given this team the ability to control play and scoring chances in minutes when Hughes is not on the ice. And man, I would take 90% of that right now. I'd take 85% of that right now. You know, and then I do think, like, you know, I'll definitely ask Talkett on Saturday about this, but I still think they need to find a spot for Brännström in the lineup. And if he's not one of their six best defenders, I wonder if they should consider going 11-7. Even if just for overtime.
Yes. Yeah. It's not a bad point.
You know?
Because the options beyond Hughes are tough.
Well, and the moment Hughes leaves the ice, they give up the goal.
Yeah.
It's like right now with how they're set up without Hronek, I mean, they should consider going three forwards or they should consider going 11-7 if they don't trust Brännström, because I just, I mean, that's what's costing them a lot of those sort of Bettman points here as we go. And those matter. I mean, you win two more of those coin flips and you know, you're not sub 500 point percentage across your last 10 games. Here's the other part of this. Like, as much as I take heart in a lot of what we've seen, this team has one regulation win across their last 10 games, and it was a 4-3 victory, a one-goal win over San Jose. Now, I know San Jose made it a one-goal win with 3 seconds left, so not a material one-goal win. It was still a clear victory, but it's still San Jose. But that's the sort of downside. On the other side of it, they have points in 7 of those 10. Right. So this is like a classic. This is what we talked about, what we used to talk about when the Canucks would go through those long losing streaks that killed them early in the season. Was it's like, even when it runs bad for a good team, you know, they manage to pick up 9 points in 10 or 10 points through 12. And it's bad. It's not great. It still dents your confidence in what they are. Fans will still complain. The noise still turns up. Management still gets itchy in terms of their trigger fingers. Head coaches still don't love it, right? They still go back to the drawing board and hold practices trying to figure out what their identity is. And that's well and good, but this is not a fatal stretch for the team. And I do think that that's an important thing to keep in context. This team has managed their losses, quote unquote, well enough that like they're still going to come out of what's been a pretty uninspired 7-week stretch of hockey, having, you know, more or less held the fort.
I do think there's an element too. I mean, we were talking on the show yesterday about the increase in scoring in the NHL and the decrease in save percentage and what that leads to in terms of results and everything. I kind of feel though, like we're watching an old school NHL team in the Canucks though, because just you go back since the beginning of December, they beat Columbus 5-2, but that game obviously started, in a bit of a nightmare fashion for them. But anyways, let's go to like, and then they lose to Tampa by a couple of goals. But since then, they've only been involved in a couple of results either way that have been legit multi-goal results, not counting empty netters tacked on. Right? Mm-hmm. They beat Florida 4-0. They lost to Boston 5-1, but then like Colorado 3-1, there was an empty netter. Utah, overtime loss. Vegas beats them 3-1 with an empty netter. Overtime loss to Ottawa, one goal win against San Jose. Overtime loss to Seattle. Calgary gets an empty netter to win 3-1. Nashville gets a couple empty netters to win 3-0, right? It's like they've just been in coin flip after coin flip after coin flip, whether it's overtime or regulation. Almost all of these games are 50-50. And I guess, yeah, you can give them credit, but as we talk, I think we're also getting a little lost in the weeds of like, oh, they're blowing these third period leads or they're not executing in overtime. You got to be up multiple goals at some point here. That's what when we're really getting down to it. If we're talking about what's the ceiling need to be for this team, you can't be in coin flip after coin flip after coin flip. Eventually, you're going to get burned on those. And we're seeing a bit of that right now.
Well, and what do all of those one goal games have in common, Jamie?
What?
There's a thread there.
What?
It's 3-1. It's 2-3.
Yes. You're right.
We're not talking
there's not a lot of like 6-5s here. I think there's like 1 or 2 5-4s in there, but mostly, yeah, it's 3-2, 2-1, that kind of thing.
And it's because the Canucks can't score.
Yep.
So they're leaning on and dining out on their defense to keep them in these games, right? So old school, we're talking dead puck scores here.
Yeah.
But dead puck era scores anyway. But the truth is their defense is keeping them in games. And I'd add this, opposition's failure to finish glorious scoring opportunities is also a big part of this, right? Because their save percentage has been perhaps a little bit unsustainably inflated. And while credit goes to Lankin and especially Demko as well in the games that he's played for that, like we wouldn't be watching these games. We're not coming on the radio generally the next day and talking about Lankin and stealing them points.
No.
Right? Like this is wasteful shooting more than it is great goaltending, taking nothing away from the sturdy performances that Vancouver has gotten net. And so, you know, there's an element to which I'd expect that to regress, but to offset that, the Canucks are going to need to score some goals, and to get 2-goal leads, they're going to need to generate some scoring chances. They're going to need to find some juice. And once again, with this lineup healthy, or at least most of their forwards in the lineup, save Dakota Joshua, you know, they did have some in the first 16 games of the season. Not a big enough sample for us to write home about, or sort of take to the bank and have them honor it. But, you know, it's something. It's a glimmer of what this team may be capable of when they're healthy and fully operational. But look, like we are in the second half now, right? Like, mm-hmm. There's not a huge amount of runway for everyone to get healthy and not just Hronek to return to the lineup, but everyone to actually get healthy and play up to their potential. And, you know, that's kind of where we find ourselves. Like, I was thinking about and watching this Washington Capitals team and, like, you know, Logan Thompson has always been a talented guy, dogged by some immaturity stuff. Like, if there's a lot of people who are like, why wasn't he one of Team Canada's three goalies? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, because Bruce Cassidy coached him when he, you know, maybe wasn't up to the standard that he is at the moment that Spencer Carberry has drawn out of him in terms of, you know, professional details, right? He's playing unbelievable hockey. They have 36 of 42 available points with him in his starts.
Pretty good.
You could tell. But, you know, so they're getting like apex form out of him. Pierre-Luc Dubois was all over the ice, like a high effort game. I was like, who is this guy? Not that I feel for the Kings, but I was like, man, do Kings management
imagine
these games through gritted teeth? I'd be losing my mind.
Well, and to bring it back to the Canucks situation, like that, is there a better argument for not trading Pettersson? You know what I mean? You do not want to be on the other side of that.
No. Well, and then Jacob Chychrun. Like, always hurt, looks pretty healthy. I know he's missed some games, but he looks pretty healthy. You know, he's had some of his own maturity issues. He looked awesome last night. Like, really good. And even some of the stuff that's left me cold in his game, like the hockey IQ stuff, no evidence of that. Not in evidence at all last night. So they're getting these, like, you know, they've hit doubles and triples off a trio of swings that I would have categorized in the offseason as extraordinarily risky, right? And the Canucks, by contrast, are, you know, turning like heavily barreled balls in. They're all going directly into gloves, right? Like it's decent contact sometimes too, like good bets, but they're not paying off, right? Like Pettersson 11.6, that's a home run bet, a home run cut. It's gone directly into a glove.
Yeah.
Like guys jumped over the center field and he's pulled it back into the field of play. But that's a home run in 26 of 30 MLB ballparks. Like it just, you have to think about it that way. There's so many little things on the margins that just haven't gone the Canucks way, whether it's injury, whether it's underperformance, or whether it's, you know, Danton Heinen and Vinny Desharnais at 4.25 million, mm-hmm. whatever they are combined, just like not being the answer for this group. Right. You sort of put it all together and maybe mix it in too with some inconsistent efforts in the first half of the season and some noise stemming from dysfunctional locker room dynamics. And, you know, you've got a pretty uninspired, a pretty thin stew, but it's not going to take a lot of sort of thickening agent here, right? Or it's not going to take a lot of BABIP regression for the Canucks to get going and sort of have things fall their way. Especially if they can maintain the competitive level they've really hit since they played Calgary after Christmas.
What an incredible metaphor transition that was from baseball, from the barrels to the stew. So it's so quick. I didn't even notice what was happening. I was like, wait, we're talking stew now? I thought we were talking baseball here just a second ago.
Hey, guys named Stew love baseball. So it's a lot.
Two things I love, stew and baseball, both fantastic. Yeah, why not bring them up? Drance, glad
the best that, thing for different seasons.
Yes, so true. Thank you for making it, hustling. I don't know why I'm thanking you for showing up on your own show for the last half an hour. It's just because I'm treating you like a
thank
guest.
Thank you for doing your job, bud.
big good effort by you, man. You did your job today.
Good effort by you, buddy.
Well done. Anyways, I'm not going to be on the show tomorrow. I'm filling in once again for Mike Halford on the morning show on Halford and Brough. So it'll be you and I believe Josh Elliott Wolf. So Josh gets to experience the joy that is doing the remote work. We've got the technical stuff figured out, though, so it should be fun. So you guys will set up Carolina and the Canucks and the Leafs on Saturday tomorrow as well. Thanks to Randeep. Thanks to Thomas Hickey for joining me earlier in the show, too. We'll be back together on Monday, but Canucks Talk will be back tomorrow here on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on The People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets. Weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
Visibly better diamonds, obviously better prices. Customers love it.
Our natural diamonds are visibly better because of our incredibly high cutting standards.
The sparkle of a diamond is determined only by its cut.
And our prices for natural diamonds are obviously better because we pay cash on the spot.
Other stores ask for extended payment terms.
Paying cash means we get first pick of all the freshly cut diamonds.
Visibly better diamonds, obviously better prices.
Spence. Located in Vancouver and Langley.
When it comes to pizza, you want that authentic, cheesy, crunchy pizza that doesn't take any shortcuts. You want AJ's Pizza Joint, right in the heart of Vancouver. It's authentic New York-style pizza.
Or you can sink into their famous Detroit-style pizza.
Made with dough that takes 3 days to prepare.
Oh, wow. That's longer than some of your friendships.
Rude, but also true. Maybe I should take them to AJ's.
Yeah, AJ's is a pizza-focused joint. Whether it's date night, family night, or beers and pies with friends, AJ's has you covered.
AJ's Pizza on East Broadway. Dine in or order online at AJ's.pizza.
Decisions, decisions.
It's always something with you.
I can't decide what dealership to go with. White Rock, Pacific, and Vancouver Honda all have state-of-the-art customer centers, friendly, knowledgeable staff, and offer loaner vehicles and shuttle service.
Well, lucky for you, those dealerships are all under the Dilawri group of companies, so you don't have to compromise.
White Rock, Pacific, and Vancouver Honda, unparalleled customer satisfaction, all under the Dilawri group of companies. Order up!
Too many cooks in the kitchen? Trade Up BC provides experienced tradespeople in the hospitality and food services industry with easy access to short courses and micro-credentials to advance your career, support your career change, and prepare you for the future needs of your profession. So, if you're thinking about applying for that management position, starting your own business, or prepping a star employee for a leadership role, don't let your soup get cold. Visit Trade Up BC now.
Interest rates have finally started coming down for the first time in 4 years. Now is the time to use a Flexi line from Capital Direct to take control of your plans and finances and make it happen. Maybe it's that renovation you've been thinking about or investing in a new property. If you could borrow $80,000, $280,000, or even $2.8 million, how would you invest in yourself, your life, and your future? Find out why Canadians have been trusting Capital Direct for decades. Call Capital Direct today at 1-800-NEW-CAPITAL.
CapitalDirect.ca.
With respiratory illness season here, how do we help take care of ourselves? Practice healthy habits. Now's the time to get your flu and updated COVID shots. They help protect against severe illness and hospitalization. Also, remember to stay home if you're sick, cover coughs and sneezes, and clean your hands frequently. Healthy habits make a difference, helping to protect you and the people in your life. We can all do our part. Learn more at healthyhabitsbc.ca. A message from the Government of BC.
Finding the right person for the job isn't easy, but if you're looking for a tax lawyer, talk to KSW Lawyers today. Don't miss out on opportunities because of the complexities of tax. They can work with you to discover what your best options are. Think KSW Lawyers if you want to find tax advantages.
Woohoo!
Discover new tax planning options.
Okay, so if I do this, then I can save this.
And find a resolution to your disputed tax reassessment.
Whew, glad that's over.
KSW Lawyers, here for the beginning, end, and unknown.
At the Magnuson Auto Group, that's Metro Ford in Port Coquitlam and Magnuson Ford in Abbotsford, there's no high pressure, no phony giveaways or slick gimmicks you end up paying for anyways. Just the best sales and service every day, 7 days a week. We're family-owned, family-operated, and consider it our job to help you. So, we work hard to make choosing your Ford easy for you. The Magnuson Auto Group. Our reputation rides with you.
Hey, HVAC and plumbing pros, got a project on the horizon? Choose Wolseley for your next job. Receive exceptional technical support and personalized customer service from local experts. Our knowledgeable associates are here to provide tailored solutions that keep your work running smoothly. With over 250,000 plumbing and HVAC products at a variety of locations for your convenience, we're ready to go. Visit WolseleyExpress.com to find a branch near you. Your project, our priority.
Ready to power through winter like a champion? This new year, gear up with the toughness and reliability of Kubota. For tough winter tasks, Kubota offers a wide variety of equipment and attachments to get the job done right, including efficient RTVs perfect for hauling equipment and powerful skid steer loaders designed for snow removal within minutes. Make 2025 your year of Kubota and visit one of Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment's 6 BC locations today or explore DLEAMC.com.
Get the inside scoop
live before every game.
The Canucks pregame show
on the official home of the Canucks,
Sportsnet 650.
CISL Vancouver is Sportsnet 650,
the official home of the Canucks.
Listen live online at sportsnet650.ca or download the podcasts and don't miss a minute.
Care, experts at home.
This January on the Food Network, watch all new episodes of everyone's favorites.